You may be seated. And I want to invite Dave DeVries forward, and Dave is going to come up on behalf of the Mission Committee and introduce Pastor Paul for us.
Good morning. We are blessed to have Paul and Charlotte with us today. We were blessed to have them stay at our house last night. They kept us up far too late. And but they're a delightful couple. They've been here, I believe this is Paul's third time preaching. So we've had the privilege of having him preach to us. They're both very active in Western French-speaking African ministry and missions. Charlotte works with the women's group. Paul and Charlotte have radio ministry, so they're leading people to Christ throughout West Africa. He's going to preach to us, and every one of you people are going to end up on the mission field. It will be amazing. Listen to this guy. He's got some great things to share. Paul Mapindi, Reverend Dr. Paul Mapindi.
Thank you for introducing us. So this morning, I gave Dave a test. He had to cook, an egg for me the African way. So I had to tell them, don't do that, and then do this. And then he flipped it. Oh. He passed the test, so thank you for, we were well fed, so I can preach for a long time, so I hope. So it's always good to come here, and thank you, Pastor Hess, for thinking about us. I was saying, you know what, we've been there for a while, and then you just emailed me. I said, wow, I was thinking about you guys, and last time we came here, it was kind of really snowy and stuff like that. But today is good, sunny. It's still cold, but, you know. So, and then our good friends, the blacks also, you know, I just said the people who feed us when we come. So, thank you so much. Charlotte, would you come up a little bit? You know, I have to show off your nice African thing you're wearing there. You know, it's kind of nice. You stay down there because I'm short. I have to be a little taller. So we are so happy to be here. And Charlotte, as Brother Dave shared, Charlotte has her own radio show. Yes. Yeah. And then she preaches to African women in French. And then a lot of them receive the Lord, and then they email also. They text us because we give our phone number, you know, the office number, stuff like that. So she has a whole ministry she does. And then I also work. We would like you guys to pray for us because we will be going to Congo from January to March. We will be teaching classes and pastors and stuff like that. After Congo, we travel north to Central African Republic for another week of teaching. So we will be busy. And I think those of you who get our emails, please pray for us. It's so challenging. There are so many things when you get there, like, oh, how are we going to get through this? And when you guys pray, we can feel it, that roadblocks are removed so we could do ministry. So we will be sending you a prayer list in December. Those of you who are not on our emailing list, you can register with Charlotte at the end of the service, and then you will get email. We don't believe in sending tons of emails to people. No. We email you when we need prayer. So don't worry about us. Now, when you do, you give your email address, the following week, go into your spam box, check, because often when you give us your email, it goes to it goes to your spam box and you won't get it. So check it after a week. So Charlotte, I'm thankful for everything you do. But you know, I was telling Dave, I have known Charlotte since we were 7 years old. We have been buddies for a long time. We were not married at 7. No, but we go. She's my best friend. So, guys, I love preaching, but I don't love anything before it. I just love when I do it and I'm done, and then I relax and watch TV. But you know what? I love preaching because that's the only hope we have in the world, the gospel. Let us read in Luke, Mark chapter 3, and we will just read a couple of verses. Mark chapter 3, and then we'll start verse 13 to 15, just a couple of verses. But I want us to drill there. Mark chapter 3. Verses 13 to 15. So I'm saying a couple of things so you can get used to my accent again, because I've not been here for 3 years. By now you forgot how I sound. So Mark 3, 13 to 15. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Lord, I pray as I am trying to explain your word to your people in English. It is difficult for me to really say what I want to say. But Father, I pray that you would touch us through your own spirit so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Jesus, you are the boss. There is nobody else but you. We worship you. We love you. And we bend to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Three things about missions. Three things about the church. Three things about Christianity. Three things about your faith. Three things about outreach. Three. The first one is the verbs you see in that passage there. The passage talks about Jesus being on the mountain and then choosing 12. I was like, Jesus, God gave you the responsibility of winning the whole world, the whole universe, and you are only choosing 12? Jesus, God is not sending you to only Israel. Your message has to go all over the world. You need a billion people to go. No. He picks up 12 to reach the whole world. Think about it. That's not a good strategy. And then those 12, he picks them up when there is no internet. I mean, when there are no airplanes, when there are no highways and cars that really go fast, how are they going to change the world? We have three verbs. He picks 12, gives them three verbs. They have to follow the three verbs to reach the whole world. The first verb is so that they can be with him. The second verb is that they can go out and preach. And the third verb is so that they can have authority to drive out demons. That's my sermon for today. Three verbs. The first, he picks up 12, a very small number. He wants them to be with him. And then, after they are with him, then they can go preach. And then when they preach, then they can exercise authority. There is no missions. There is no church. There is no Christianity without the three. Church mission doesn't start by going out. It starts by being with. Reaching out. Going out to the community. That's not the starting point. We don't start church by going out. We start church by being with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says he chose them to be with him, literally, the 12 lived with Jesus for 3 years, 24/7. I visited Israel. My wife was with me. We went to the house of Peter. Peter by the lake of Gennesaret, call it Gennesaret, whatever, Galilee. Jesus, Peter had his compound. He gave a little house for Jesus so he could live there. Jesus lived with them. The 12 lived with Jesus every day, 24/7. To be with him. Why did he want them with him? See, I'm so thrilled. I see my good friend, the pastor, has with the young man here. Wow. I feel great about it. You know. So he's for sure thinking, this guy is fantastic. He doesn't live with you. You know. 24/7, that's too much. Because he's going to see everything. Why did he want him with him? Why did he want them with him? For two reasons. Christianity is not only taught, but it is also caught. Christianity is not the religion of the head. It's also the religion of the heart. Jesus didn't want only to teach principles. No, he wanted them to see something they have never seen before. Tenderness and mercy. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and then learn from me. For I am gentle and what? Humble in heart. Jesus is describing himself as gentle and humble in heart. See, Jesus knew religion doesn't work if it's just theory. Religion works if people can touch the tenderness of God through us. If they can touch the humility of God through us. That's why he had them, so that Peter and John and Matthew and can actually touch grace. Until you are touched by the tenderness of God, your religion will stay in your head. When we talk about grace alone, that's beautiful. It's on the over there. It has to be here. Nobody has ever seen before God's grace. Never. Peter or John is saying, what we touched. Every time Peter touched Jesus, he touched grace. Because he could see it in a way that Jesus was there. People were stunned. Somebody without the bone of injustice, of meanness. He was there. That's why prostitutes just ran to him. Because they could sense he accepted them. When the religious people just hated them. He actually was so pure that the impurity didn't touch him. Didn't bother him. Oh, my. Do we still have those saints, the real saints in our midst? The people who live with us, but they don't look like us because they look like Christ. Christianity is losing ground because there are rare, very rare Christ-like Christians. Christ-like. He's a saint. It's not like he's very different, but he just has that peace, that gentleness, that humility of Jesus in him or in her. Yet you can actually touch the power of the gospel through those people. Billy Graham was one of them. And for a long time. I want to be one of those. I have a problem. I just get too mad on those people who drive slow on the highway. You just can't just. My sanctification ends on the highway. 94. I have an effort to. I can't be saint in the car. I drive too fast. Oh my. But I try. He wanted them to be with him so he could contaminate them, infect them with godliness. We are missing saints in our midst. Christianity needs those saints, those who are close to Jesus. By the way, it's not difficult to be close to Jesus. Take your Bible, isolate yourself, sit there, don't talk to the Bible, let the Bible talk to you. And then pray, real prayer. Don't start my, just say, Lord, you know, I'm very mad at this and that and that. And then change me. He will. And you will regret praying that. My question to you, is Jesus real to you? Or is just a real Jesus of your head? He had them there for 3 years and they changed. Peter was like me. A firecracker everywhere. Just ask Charles, he will tell you. I'm restless. I want to change everybody and everywhere right now. But Jesus conquered Peter and John and Paul. Christianity is sweet because then you realize, wow, I can rest because God loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And then the second verb. It's just, yes, the first one was that they could be with him. But when you are with him, then you have to go. And then when you go, you have to do something. You have to preach the good news. By the way, for the first part of my sermon, you take 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, stick to it. For my first part that I said, be with him, take 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, put it there. And now I go to my second, and then for my second, take 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. That will go with it. Go preach what? Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with wisdom and impressive stuff. I came to you and I wanted to know only one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified. You are with Jesus. You have to go preach. But preach what? The content of the gospel is one content only. Christ and him on the cross. We don't preach something else to the world. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message. 1 Corinthians 2:2. We don't have another message in the church. The church doesn't exist for global warming. The church doesn't exist for saving the poor, feeding the hungry. The church doesn't exist for caring for abortion. The church doesn't exist for social justice. All those are good things, but they are not the gospel. The church exists for one thing, the cross of Jesus and Jesus Christ crucified. That's it. It is from the cross that global warming is solved, that abortion ends, that all the problems are fixed. You start with your problems, you will find no answer. You start with the cross of Jesus. I'm not saying that. Paul says it. I did not want to know nothing else but one thing only. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because it is from the blood that comes out of the cross, that sins are removed, that forgiveness is given, and that we can be fixed. Without the blood, there is no fixing. We can play our games. Without the blood, we got nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, you know. Nothing. All your sins, terrible they may be, they can't resist when we apply the blood of Jesus on them. There is not a single sin that the blood of Jesus can't remove. Not. That's why I'm unimpressed
when I see people screaming all over the place. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Don't scream. You don't understand. There is not a single sin that can resist the blood of Jesus. I don't go to mission defeated like maybe. I never do maybe. I go sure. Because the cross happened. Sin was removed. I just have the responsibility to preach it. You know, Jesus is so interesting. When I go to missions, you know, we go to Africa and do stuff like that. I would go to a church. I preach 300 converts. Good. I go to a stadium. I preach 3,000. I'm not giving you a story. This is true. I go to another stadium. I preach 5,000. Wow, I feel kind of, even I'm short, I feel tall, you know, when you got 5,000. And I go to a church. I preach, make the altar call zero. And I stand there, zero, nobody comes. And Jesus talks to me. Well, how do you feel? Very bad. He says, no, don't worry. You talked about me, that's enough. The result, I take care of it. So I want you to, when you talk, when you preach, especially young, preach. Don't worry that about, no. Just preach about Jesus, the cross, forgiveness, grace, and power. That's it. Leave the results to the Lord. We are so used to telling machines that you put your card, it comes out. Then you think, we're going to go over there, get that. So calm down. America is not lost. Speak calmly. Talk about the cross, about forgiveness. Leave out your faith. Let God handle the rest. And then I'm going to finish the sermon. Now, this clock, they put it under this. Pastor has it really mean. He put me on that chair, put the clock under so I can see it all the time. Just come by. Oh, bye. I didn't know that you were wanted me to be so short. But anyway, put it down. Good. Then I can go over. Now, think about it. My third point. The first one, you got to be with him. The second, you have to preach the gospel. One gospel only, Jesus Christ crucified. But then it's not enough. You have to have authority to drive out demons, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Why? Because demons work to blind people so they can't see Christ. The devil works overtime to make sure people don't listen. It's not like they're not smart. They know, but they can't see. The devil blinds them. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Demons work to stop you from understanding the gospel, from understanding your problem, and for understanding Christ. The first thing we do, we exercise authority to break down those walls, the blinders, spiritual warfare. Now, here in America, you don't realize that back home when we go, the first thing we do, we destroy those resistance. Because you can be preaching there, but the witch man in the village doesn't want you. Before you come, he does his witchcraft. You get there, the microphone is new, the generator is good, but it chokes. No power. I was preaching in a stadium in Central African Republic, and I said to our team people there, I said, guys, I know how things work in Africa. I don't trust the government power grid, whatever. Have a generator ready. If they cut the power, we can, we're going to have one. But there is no problem here. I said, no, I don't trust because I know the devil. So 15,000 people were in the stadium. I was preaching great. Folks, the moment I wanted to make the altar call, poof, no power. The moment I want to say, Those of you who wants to come to Jesus, come. No microphone. The power went out. So I turned to my assistant. I said, can you start a generator? Well, we did not rent one. My spirituality just disappeared. I became so mean. I said, I'm going to just shake you. What am I going to do? And then Charlotte's brother, who was with me at that time, you know, Charlotte's brother is also a pastor. He said, Pastor Paul, don't worry. Keep talking without the microphone. I said, but what am I going to do? And I stayed there. I screamed. Anyone who wants to give his life to the Lord, come down. 3,000. 3,000 without the microphone. Who turned, cut the power, you know, the devil, to try and mess you up? What are the voices you hear every day at your home when you wake up? Negative stuff. The devil plants those thoughts in you so you don't grow spiritually. What is destroying our country? Negativity. Think about it. This is, you guys are from here. We are not from here. We came. We know how sweet America is. You don't. You take it for granted. We who come from the outside, we know that, guys, this is good. So if you don't want, we can switch. You go to Africa, we come over here. But the devil will make sure you don't believe that, that actually you are blessed. God has given us power to undo the enemy in this country and everywhere. Do you have that authority? Yes. If you believe in Jesus, if you live in obedience, and if you are stubborn enough to obey the Bible. I'm done. Thank you.